Our third speaker is Daniel Blazek. He's a library technician and archivist at the Library of Congress Recorded Sound Section in Culpeper, Virginia. In the past 2 years, he attended over 135 comedy shows in the DC metro area, meeting many comedians and collecting hard-to-find stand-up recordings along the way. From 1993 to 2002, he served as the head of government documents and special formats at the Otto G. Richter Library, University of Miami, Florida. From 2005 to 2006, he was the director of library services at the Miami International University of Art and Design, and he is also a graduate of the Selznick School of Film Preservation at the George Eastman House in Rochester, New York. Please welcome Daniel Blazek.
Just give us 1 minute. We gotta change programs.
You wanted the mouse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Get this over since I can. And this is your show right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Stand by for just a second. That should do it for you.
I'm not used to this view.
Do you want to just click here or the space bar?
I want full view.
Let me just...
Can I do that?
Yeah, I'll take it out of presenter for you. Stand by here.
Because I have to click on the sound icons.
Oh, okay.
Small.
Okay. Let's go back the other way here. Let's leave it cloned. Like that?
Yeah.
The way you want it?
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Hi, I don't have much time, but do I? Okay.
All right. 25 minutes.
All right. All right. We'll eat barbecue later. Okay. Can you hear me? All right.
All right, let's do an honest sound check. Test, test, 1, 2. I disappointed my parents. 2, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Bad career choice. 1, 2, 1, 2. Anyone have a couch I can sleep on? 2, 2, 1, 2. Dreams fading. Test, test. 1, 2.
That was Marc Maron from his album, This Has to Be Funny. And let me check my notes. My name is Dan Blazek, and I'm a technician at the Library of Congress, as you guys have mentioned already. I mainly catalog CDs, but I have a strong interest in stand-up comedy, and for the last 2 years I've attended a number of shows, as was mentioned already as well. And in the process, I've helped to fill in some gaps of what we don't have at the Library of Congress. And we get a lot of stuff, but we don't get everything. And my goal is to get everything for comedy. But so my talk will focus on the trends, characteristics, and quirks of stand-up comedy, and how collecting comedy albums today is cool, for lack of a better word. So. Why is stand-up comedy important?
Oh!
Well, we all need to laugh. It is a basic human need, and laughter makes you healthier. It's medically proven, and laughter makes you happier. So without further ado, I'm happy to say that in 2013, the comedy album is back. Over 100 titles were released in 2012. And that's a pretty significant number, since comedy is fairly underrepresented compared to music and sound recordings. At the Library of Congress, we have about 0.4% of our holdings as stand-up comedy. Just comedy in general. Stand-up is just a portion of that. And that's about one in every 250 titles. This graph shows the catalog stand-up titles at the Library of Congress by year of publication. And you can see the spike around 5960, as Michael would attest was probably the case as well. But the highest numbers are today, in terms of at least titles released and titles cataloged at our library. So as you go down toward the 80s were the trough for sound recordings. Even though it was called the comedy boom during that time, it was not a boom for sound recordings, as Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy were mainly cutting their concert albums on VHS. At least that's what they were focused on. Also, Steve Martin kind of turned his back on stand-up at that point and went into film purely. That spike at about 1993, which is kind of sticking out there, I just want to mention that one because that's somewhat Kansas City related. A label named Laughing Hyena was started in Kansas City by a guy named Arnie Hoffman, who was a jobber and had a kind of distribution company where he basically decided to record truck stop comedy and place them in truck stops. He put these cassettes out across the nation. He told me on the phone that altogether he sold 4 million copies. He subsequently moved to Las Vegas because he said the allergies were getting to him here. But he said he grew up around Kansas City. You'll note that he was the first to record Jeff Foxworthy and Ron White, who are big blue-collar comedy stars now. Some catalysts of the 2000s that basically helped to propel comedy into popularity again, aside from the demand for content being everywhere technologically on our phones, 600 cable stations, internet, of course, were these developments of the new comedy record labels, social media, of course, exploded everywhere and included stand-up comedy. Satellite radio is huge, podcasts are huge, and direct digital distribution. I'll talk a little bit about each one of these. It was no surprise that Seinfeld, after he returned to stand-up in 2000, kind of helped, I think, to spur on popularity of comedy in general and comedy record labels. Four out of the five of these started in the 2000s. Comedy Central, even though they were a cable channel for 10 years before, it wasn't until 2002 that they started a comedy record label, and they have over 160 titles now. They also pioneered the digital-only album release in 2008, and I'll say a little bit more about that later. Uproar Entertainment actually began in the 90s by David Drozin, who with his father, Lewis, in the 70s, I believe, started Laugh Records, and they were the first to, they weren't the first, but they signed Richard Pryor in the 70s and subsequently got in some legal entanglements with that contract. But David started his own label in the 90s, and he's now kind of known as the first to have recorded Brian Regan, who is a very popular and good comedian now, too. Stand-Up Records was begun in Minneapolis in the early 2000s as Ism Ist label. And he started as, did I mention Dan? Yeah, Dan Schlissel started it. And he wanted to basically record heavy metal, but he wound up signing Mark Maron, Louis Black, Maria Bamford, Doug Stanhope, actually pretty successful comedians now. And he's got over 100 titles, and he actually puts out a comedy fest in Mexico as well. So he's got some pretty good success. Also, Louis Black got a Grammy, kind of boosting that label upward. Rooftop Comedy is mainly a distributor of comedy, but they also offer turnkey services for comedians to basically get their album in recorded format. And they have a very significant web presence with a lot of possibilities for digital downloads and albums as well. A Special Thing Records, kind of the new kid on the block. We just received their entire catalog, and we'll be cataloging it shortly. They're kind of a boutique label out of Hollywood Records, Hollywood, California. Social media, of course, exploded, and case in point is Jean Robertson, who was a septuagenarian when she started posting things on the internet. And basically, she became from a corporate speaker to a comedic presence now.
My assistant, Tony, and I didn't even really know what we were doing. We put a clip on YouTube a few years ago, and it flew around the nation. We didn't even know it was flying. And then a young man in the neighborhood, Ellis, came over banging on the door. Jeannie, Jeannie, Mama says you're viral. Come out, you're viral. And before long, we have now, this afternoon, I think, I'm not really counting, 13,770,000.
Okay, something got cut off there. But she had 13 million hits, and she will give you her 7-Up pound cake recipe at her theater shows now, and she's doing quite well. She also has a number of CDs out that she'll sign after the show, and she's quite the sweetheart. But the meet and greet is after the show is crucial for stand-ups. So. They make a lot of business that way. And if they're not selling CDs, they're generally selling something like a t-shirt or a hat, et cetera.
My assistant,
Whoops.
Tony, and
no,
I didn't even really know what we were doing. We put a clip.
All right, there we go. But the actual king of social media turned out to be Dane Cook, who basically duplicated Steve Martin's accomplishments of releasing a platinum album followed by a double platinum album. And this was 28 years after Steve Martin first did it. And Dane Cook largely did it with utilizing YouTube and building his client, his following that way. And he also kind of seems to have followed in Steve Martin's footsteps in terms of going into film primarily now instead of stand-up. SiriusXM is a huge delivery mechanism for comedy now, and coming Monday there will now be 6 stations devoted to stand-up, where before there were only 5. Comedy Central is going to be huge on there in a couple days. The Foxhole is urban black comedy with music started by Jamie Foxx. Blue Collar Radio is the Jeff Foxworthy type of comedy, a country comedy. Laugh USA is a clean comedy. Raw Dog comedy is the opposite of clean, and it's uncensored, and they have some shows on there with featuring Jim Brewer and Tom Papa. Also, Canada Laughs is the new name of what used to be Laugh Attack, and that's Canadian uncensored comedy. SiriusXM also sells subscriptions to 4 stations that are on the internet only. That's George Carlin's Carlin's Corner, which is all George Carlin. Dirty Dog, which is absolutely profane comedy. And UCB is Upright Citizens Brigade, and they're an improv group out of both California and New York. And they do improv-type comedy on the radio. And SiriusXM Comedy Showcase is kind of a best of, at least so I hear. But Howard Stern kind of inadvertently started the popularity of podcasts to some degree, although it was Adam Carolla who got fired from filling in for Howard Stern on the West Coast after Howard went to Sirius, that Adam Carolla, instead of going to another radio station, he basically decided to start his own podcast network. And a lot of comedians have basically seen this model work, and they actually have gotten advice from him to basically duplicate what he does. Adam really wasn't doing stand-up at all, but now he's selling out theaters after the success of his podcast. And this was kind of duplicated by Mark Maron as well, who has a very popular WTF podcast and gets into recent and older comedy history. But in the case of Carolla, he has not only his own show, but he has multiple shows with other comedians that he hosts. iTunes does track comedy podcasts as well, and they do that nationally as well as internationally. The Adam and Dr. Drew show, typically near the top. Tom Green is a Canadian comedian, not new to comedy, but new to podcasts, and he's doing actually quite well as a podcast. Comedy Central also has a podcast presence as well. The latest trend is to go from not only to publish your own material, but for the more affluent and the more popular, to distribute your own material on your own website. So that's popularized by Louis C.K. in 2011 with Live at the Beacon Theater. Basically, he's eliminated the middlemen of iTunes and Amazon to release his material and sell it. And he started with this album as a video version and also has an audio version of it as well. The comedians on the left have also followed suit. Now, just a word about collecting comedy at the comedy club and finding the material that you will possibly not find elsewhere. Just some basics about a comedy club show. I don't know how many of you have actually been to a comedy club. How many people have been? Okay, a good number. The comedy club is basically divided into three acts. The MC or the opener is often a local guy who does about 10 minutes. He kind of gets paid peanuts, but he'll introduce the featured act or the middler, and the featured act is a kind of a headliner wannabe, but he'll do about 30 minutes. And the main act or the headliner will do about 45 minutes to an hour and a half, or possibly longer. And this is good to know because the merch or the merchandise is, as I mentioned, kind of crucial for comedians and making a living, at least for the middlers, because they're not making a whole lot of money. They're making about $150 a show, and they're often likely to be selling a CD, maybe more likely than the headliner. The headliner doesn't necessarily have to sell anything, because he's making on the order of $25,000 to $30,000 a week for a 5-day stint and approximately 8 shows, 2 shows on Friday and Saturday. The headliner is more likely to sell a DVD because he can afford the production on it. But overall, about 25% of the comedians I've seen will sell a CD at the show. Just a mention of our top comedy club at in DC is the DC Improv, and we're not like New York, where we have all kinds of different clubs to really go to. This is really our number one go-to place. They get the best names. They're also kind of the comedians comedy club in terms of comedians like it to come there, and they're treated well, and they think highly of the place. All the comedians on the left have not only performed there, but released recorded comedy albums there. And of note is the late Patrice O'Neill, who recorded his last comedy album there before he died, and it was released on Comedy Central Records. DC Improv also sells CDs that you will not find anywhere else. So a case in point is Jim Gaffigan, who, as a middler, considers the DC Improv one of his go-to places, one of his home bases. And this is, he released 4 CDs, and the only place to get them is the DC Improv. And they'll sell them for $25 with his signature on them. How many people have heard of Jim Gaffigan? Okay, that's 75%. All right. The next clip I'll play is basically a splicing together of 4 different slices of tracks from four different of his CDs, two of the ones from his early ones and two from subsequent Comedy Central albums, where you can basically compare his one bit, which he likes to talk about food a lot, and Hot Pockets is the topic here. But he talks about Hot Pockets for four different CDs, so that's why he's known as Jim Hot Pockets Gaffigan. But you can give a listen.
I feel a little nauseous. I had a Hot Pocket for dinner. Anybody else have a Hot Pocket? Never really see that on a menu. You know? I will have the Caesar salad and the Hot Pocket.
Today's specials, we have a filet mignon, which is flambéed, and we have a Hot Pocket, which is cooked in a dirty microwave. And that comes with a side of Metamucil. Is your Hot Pocket cold in the middle?
It's frozen.
Oh, I love the Hot Pocket. I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores, I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm gonna die.
I like Jim Gaffigan. He was actually very proud to sign that to the Library of Congress, too, when he did a special show at the DC Improv for their 20th anniversary last year. And he actually took a picture of it on his phone because he wanted to send it a copy of it to his wife. And they're actually a very tight writing team. He and his wife write all his material, so it's an interesting arrangement. So now is the time. I basically get to show you a sample of my collection of 60 of the albums that I've collected, and I've met most of these comedians when I've, I wouldn't say all of them, but met a lot of them when they signed these, and you guys get to choose the music that goes with it. One is The Lonely Island, which is a kind of a hip-hop comedy group with members of Saturday Night Live in it, and the other is Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers, kind of a bluegrass version of King Tut. So, show of hands, Lonely Island. One, two, three, four, five. That's not a hand raise, okay. Steve Martin? I don't think I need to count. Okay. This is what happened in rehearsal, too. Oh. So, here we go.
Now when he was a young boy, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia, King Tut.
If I'd known they'd line up just to see him, I'd taken all my money and bought me a museum.
King Tut,
buried with a donkey.
Honky Tut,
he's my favorite honky.
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia, King Tut. Tut, tut,
dancing by the Nile.
Tut, tut,
the ladies love his style.
Tut, tut,
rocking for a mile. He ate a crocodile. He gave his life for tourism.
And that is Steve Martin's album with the Steep Canyon Rangers. Not pure stand-up comedy, but they say he gave up stand-up comedy in the 70s, but I don't believe it, because if you go to his live shows, he definitely does stand-up comedy with his bluegrass music, and it was a great show, I have to say. I'm recommending it, and I'm not getting paid for it. Lastly, some quirks and limits of collecting comedy albums that I've noticed. There's the self-bootleg, the digital-only album, sort of, and there's the digital access card, the visual comedians, and the DVD snobs, as I term them. The self-bootleg basically occurs when the comedian is not happy with his present contract or his label deal. So, Lonzo Bowden explains.
I don't know. I'll tell you why I have to make my own CD, because I have a CD and a DVD out now, and I've yet to see a penny from them. People in the record business are crooks. I'm serious. Suge Knight, he was like the honest one. That is bad. So I don't have anything to sell after the show.
Taken to extreme, Paul Mooney will basically burn a CDR of his commercial release masterpiece, sign his name to it, and charge you $25 after his show. And he'll justify it because it goes for about $50 on eBay because it's considered an out-of-print rare CD. And that's certainly one way to generate more income for himself, but we'll leave it there. Comedy Central Records, as I mentioned, releases digital-only albums, and they've cut their costs a lot by doing that, and they've also increased the number of albums available that way too, which is kind of a win, sort of win. But in the case of someone like Amy Schumer, who is a touring comedian, and now she's gotten quite a lot of popularity, they'll release hard copies of the album for them to sign and sell at the show. So before she made it big, this was the only way to get this in a hard copy format, was actually to go to the show and pick it up from her. Since she's made it big, though, and she's got a show on Comedy Central, how many people have heard of Amy Schumer? One, two, three, four. Okay, we'll call it a quarter. She has, they released the album in hard copy. So the more popular you are, the more likely your album will be released in hard copy as well. Paul Mercurio has a kind of a hybrid. His thing, or at least the way he sells it, he has a digital-only album that's available with it, and he sells this after his shows, a download card from Sideshow Network. Essentially, you pay him $10, he'll give you this card with this access code on it, and I hope you don't copy that down and do and, but. Anyway, he signs it. You feel like you left with something there, and he makes this sale right at the point of his show. So there's no, you know, he gets to sell it on you, and he doesn't have to lug around a whole bunch of CDs through airports to sell this. So I think it's actually a pretty good happy medium in some ways, but I prefer CDs myself. The Visual Comedians. This is kind of self-explanatory. The audio album really doesn't do justice to their whole act. So even though someone like Jeff Dunham, does everyone know Jeff Dunham on the left? Okay, he's the ventriloquist there, and he is, by the way, the most popular comedian who tours. He makes in the order of $21 million a year. Although he's not the wealthiest comedian, the wealthiest is Jerry Seinfeld, who has around $850 million. That's a little bit of difference. So there's one who works and one who just has wealth. But that's the difference there. But I, even though Jeff Dunham, he has audio albums out, I would recommend bypassing those and just go for the DVD, because you're just missing all that other stuff that he does. Quote-unquote DVD snobs. Although I like Tom Papa, and I think he's a pretty good comedian, but his act is mainly audio, and he's not really doing that much visually, but he refuses to do a CD because he wants his face visible for that, you know, chance to do a chance to be seen, essentially. He just considers CDs yesterday's technology, so if he's going to do an album, it's always on DVD, which is odd also because he has a radio show on Sirius XM, but go figure. Anyway, in summary of the State of the Nation 2013 summary, the amount of comedy and the variety of delivery methods are unprecedented at this point. There are 500 titles on the comedy labels that I've mentioned, an additional 100 on the major labels released in the last decade. And Warner is a big producer of comedy on their label, with the Blue Collar guys are on Warner as well. There are 285 stand-up titles listed on CD Baby. independent distribution. There's hundreds of comedy CDs available at shows and that are unpublished as well. There are over almost 5,000 comedy podcasts listed on Podcast Alley. And comedy was added to Pandora Internet in 2011, which shows its popularity in addition to music. There are roughly 15,000 working comedians, and most telling, there are 400 comedy clubs now, compared to 300 only in the comedy boom era. And just give me 1 minute. So I would say we're kind of in a bit of a golden age, in the, at least in the availability of stand-up comedy. And I would welcome, I'd love to start any kind of comedy recording interest group or be a part of it. And I will leave you with the words of Brian Regan. And do you want a short version or a long version? Okay. Whoops. No, that's wrong. That's what didn't make it into my presentation. That's what didn't make it either. By the way, Eddie Griffin is from Kansas City, if you know his work.
These friends were leaving the other day, and I started to say, hey, take care. And I decided to say good luck instead, like halfway through, you know. So it came out in neither. See you later, Brian. Take luck. Take luck and care. Take care of the luck. Good luck taking care of the luck that you might have. If you have luck, take it and care for it. Take luck care of in it. When you take all care of it. You're sure to see them again.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I don't know that we have any time left for questions, really. But by all means, talk to Daniel, talk to Bob, talk to Mike at the rest of the conference. Thank you for coming.